morning? Do we understand what's going on in John chapter 17? Some of you, if you haven't been with us, may know, but if you've been with us as we have started, this is Jesus praying for us. Now, that overwhelmed me this week. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, praying for us. And when I saw that, I thought, I knew it. I knew it up here. But when it got down to here, I was just weak-kneed. So that's what we're looking at here. One verse today. One verse, verse 8, John chapter 17. We're going to look this morning at the authority of the words. At the authority of the words. Jesus is praying to the Father, His Father, the one who sent Him. And all of chapter 17 deals with this prayer, but here's one of the statements He makes to His Father. For I have given them the words that You gave Me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from You, and they have believed that You sent Me. You don't have 5 or 6 hours to spend with Me? We couldn't get to the bottom of that. For I have given them the words that You gave Me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from You, and they have believed that You sent Me. Jesus is praying. He's praying to the Father again. This, remember, is the Lord's Prayer. The other prayers that are identified in Matthew 6 and Luke 11 as the Lord's Prayer, are patterns of prayer. Jesus answered the disciples' request, Lord, teach us to pray. And He said, after this manner, pray ye. It's a model prayer, a pattern. But this is His prayer. His prayer to His Father. And He's praying to His Father, and He's praying about, in verses 6 and 9, the people whom You gave Me out of the world. Now, specifically, that's the 12. One of them's lost. We know that. He's going to address Judas later in this prayer. So He's praying for the 11 that remain. And then in verse 20, as you know, if you've been with us, I've tried to drive this point home as much as we can. In verse 20, He's praying specifically for the 11. And then He says in verse 20, and those who will believe in Me through their word. So I believe that we can take the 11 and then those who of us who have believed based on their word, as that word has been spoken down through the ages, it got to you and me. And so He is praying for us as well. And so He says once again, I want to drive this home. For I have given them, you be them. I be them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John be them. Luke wasn't there, I guess, okay? Mark either, okay? So Matthew and John and Bartholomew and Peter and, okay? Those 11 and you and me. I have given them the words You gave Me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from You, and they have believed that You sent Me. So I want us, if you haven't guessed, I want us to look a little bit more deeply at this one phrase from Jesus' prayer to His Father about you and me. He said, I've given them the words. The words. The words that You gave Me. The derivation, the origin, the source of the words gives these words that He's talking about power and authority. They're coming from the God of this universe. He who spoke everything into existence. That's who gave God the Son the words. He said, I have given the words that You have given Me, and so you can take these words. They are absolute in power and authority. Now, there's a problem. For today, the words, and by the way, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, took the words, inspired them to writers, preserved them, and illuminates them to you and I today. So these are the words. But today, so often, the words are seen as simply suggestions, options that you might want to think about applying to your life. Folks, the words that he's talking about are not that. They come with absolute power and authority. So be very, very careful how you react to the word and how you interact with the word. Both are vital. Reacting to the word as, well, that's, you know, I can take it or leave it. That's not a good reaction. Now, that's the way that those who are yet to believe react, and understandably so. Why would they react any differently? But if you are one of them this morning, if you are one of them, you cannot have that reaction to the word. Because Jesus puts very strong emphasis on, I have given them the words that you gave me. It is personal. It is for you and me. It is the lamp unto our path, the light unto our path, the lamp unto our feet. This is what we live by. It defines who we are. It defines what he did. That's the words. The power and the authority. Now, maybe somebody didn't tell you that when you came to faith in Jesus Christ. But as you interact with and react to this word, it is coming from the Father to you and me. They originated with the Father. They were given to God the Son by the Father, as Jesus has just spoken to the Father about, who gave them to those you have given me out of the world. There it is. Came from God the Father to Jesus, his Son, who came to die for the sins of the world. And those who believe are the followers, disciples of Jesus. Then Jesus gave those words to them. And we have them today. The disciples, these 11, didn't have these words of God. But we have them today. In other words, Jesus is saying, what I have said, what I've taught, what I've done in your name is from you. Thus, not only Jesus is saying, I'm not only the way, the truth, and the life, but what I say and have said are the words that you gave me for them. The words that you have given me to give to them. So, we misuse the word today. In some cases, it's used for scholastic prowess. People that will just try to impress people with what they know about the word and kind of be a big deal in the shadow of the word. It's not for feel-good meditations. I mean, you can read the word but that's not the end purpose of it. It's not a weapon to waylay the unregenerate or to anyone who might disagree to pull it out and use it as a club and just pound people over the head. It's not for the establishment of some religious elite class. You can find people that tell you that if you didn't go here and study this and get this degree and that kind of thing, you have no right to proclaim the word. I stand in disagreement of that today. Because the author of this book empowers, anoints, inspires, and if you get out of the way, it'll take care of itself. No, the words. The words have a specific mission. The mission of the words that he's talking about today, the mission of the words is the will of the giver of the words. Because in this is the expression of his person. How would we know who God is if we didn't have the words that he gave us? Now, there's a show, I understand. I think it maybe starts tonight. I don't know if it's one night or a series or whatever. But this guy, I can't think of his name right now. Morgan Freeman. Is that his name? I guess if you want to, you can tune in. He's going to tell you who God is. He's gone around the world. And I guarantee you, if you do watch that, and I'm not a person to prescribe what you do with your life, but if you watch that, you'll turn it off and you'll be more confused than you ever have been. Morgan Freeman cannot define who God is. His words define who he is. And he has clearly communicated that to us, who he is, who his Son is, and who the Spirit is. Right there. I don't know, you probably have dozen, two dozen, maybe three dozen Bibles around the house. You have got three dozen Bibles, and that word will tell you who God is. So, if you want to watch Morgan Freeman, that's up to you. This word that he has given, that Jesus is speaking about, is also going to reveal the God of this universe's will for you in every situation, if you're one of them. He will reveal his word to you, his will to you through his word. Now, we don't want to put forth the work sometimes that requires, because you have to be a student of the word. You have to spend time with the word. And you have to spend anointed time with the Word. What that means is you ask the Father to anoint His Word to you. And then as all of these issues and episodes and whatever come into your life, this is where you go, and He speaks to every situation you may face in this life. He answers every question. And if you want to challenge that afterwards, then Andy will tell you how. No, I'll be right here, okay? I'm not going to duck and run, okay? You cannot come up with a question that he does not address in his word. Okay? And I know some of you will come up and say, I think I'll take that challenge. But come on. Come on. All right? There is a specific word, or there is a principle in his word that will address that situation. Guaranteed. All right? The word communicates his mission. And the Holy Spirit has replicated that word through inspiration of the several people that put this word into print. And so it is inspired, it is inerrant. And there's a lot of people running around there. You can find this on, I don't watch this stuff, and don't you either. I'd strongly recommend you not watch, when it talks about secrets of the Bible. There's a channel over there I saw, Secrets of the Bible. Don't go there, folks. If you want to be confused, and again, you can do whatever you want to do, but I'm telling you, there are no hidden secrets. They are here. And we have it written in English so we can understand it and preserve for us. The Word reveals the Father's love for those He created. The reality that men and women are born into sin. The power and authority of the Son of God, whom He sent because of the sin need of humanity. The atoning sacrifice of the Son for the sins of the world. And the way to righteousness. And as I mentioned a minute ago, the answer to every question that you have. Jesus said, first of all, I give them the words that you gave me. Then he said, they have received them. They have received them. Who's the they? The they's them. the them's you, okay? If you have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive the words, okay? Because they're for you. They're for you. If you're here this morning and you are yet to believe, this book is not going to mean a thing to you, or very little. But that's not His plan. His plan is that this book means something to you. And if you're here this morning and you're not one of them, you can be one of them. And we can share that with you after the service this morning as well. So He said, they, that's the them, I gave them your words, they have received them, don't miss this, they have received them. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, when He becomes your Lord and Savior, this is the manual for your life. They have received them. How ridiculous would it be for a person to say that he's or she's a Christian and say, I don't believe the Bible? That'd be ludicrous. I don't know what game that is, but somebody's playing a game. The prescribed response to the words is to receive them, not to debate them, not to reinterpret them, not to twist them, but to receive them. If you have a resistive activity or action to the word, folks, it's not mine to do, but I got a question. Did you believe? Because Jesus said that those you gave me, followers of mine, verse 20, don't forget it's there, those who have believed have received the words. They've received the words as the words from you. Chuck shared with me this week a study. Okay, now hang with me, okay? Don't shut off your minds right now, okay? But this was a study by a guy by the name of George Barna. Maybe you've heard of him. He's a researcher. His research is pretty sound. His sampling procedures, his research design, etc., they're pretty sound, okay? And I'm supposed to know about that stuff. If you don't know, ask Troy or Chuck. They'll tell you about those things. But it's sound. There's a lot of junk out there now, okay? A lot of junk research. But Barna does good work. And his focus groups typically are Christians, things about religious climate of the land, that kind of thing. That kind of is a focus of Barna and his research. And in this particular work that he was doing, he identified that there are three groups of Christians. In our land today, United States, 2016, there are three groups of Christians. There, first of all, would be those he called the evangelical Christian. Now, we thought that was everybody, didn't we? And some of you are really mystified about how some evangelical Christians can do such and such in the political climate in which we are today, or react to certain biblical principles in the way that they are reacting to. I'll explain that to you in just a minute, okay? All right, he said there's one group who are evangelicals. They believe the Bible is true. They believe the Bible is true. Then there's a group that he labels born again. And you think, isn't that the same thing? Well, Barna didn't find so, okay? These are people who responded to his research, etc., etc., okay? And they believe in the Bible, okay? But they don't believe all of it is the Word of God. Okay? They kind of cut and paste as they want to. All right? So the evangelicals believe the Bible is true. The group he called born again don't believe all of the word. And then there is a third group, and these are Christian non-confessing. You'll listen to this language. A person will say, they'll be asked, you know, well, are you religious? And listen to what they respond. If they say, I am Christian, don't get happy about that. Because they left out an article there, A. I am a Christian is different than I am Christian. And this study that he conducted bore that out. He called them Christian non-confessing. And the last two groups, the born again and the Christian non-confessing, are indistinguishable from atheists and agnostics as how they perceive most of the situations in our culture, including politics. So you see, when you read out there that 36% of evangelical Christians support such and such candidate or candidates, that kind of thing, don't get happy about that. Don't get say, man, I'm out of this. That's not who I'm supporting. And 36% of the Christians. No. Because all of those people are being lumped into the category of evangelical. And if I can believe what he has found here, that can't be. Within this big umbrella called Christian, there are evangelicals, those who believe, receive and believe the Word of God as the Word of God. Now that's who I am, okay? I don't know who you are. But it explains a lot. It explains a lot in our culture today. How can you do that and be Christian? You see, it explains it. Because the reaction of these last two groups, the group that just say born again and Christian non-confessing, okay, they react to situations the same way as those people who don't believe. So maybe that'll help, and I'm not political, I will not be from this place, but I've had so many people come to me with clubs in hand, okay? How can you support so-and-so? You know, and they beat up on other folks and all. And so maybe that will answer when it says evangelical Christians support candidates who have been married several times, they're confused about abortion, same-sex marriage, and make millions of dollars off gambling. How can evangelical Christians support them? Well, I'm that whole big area of evangelical Christians. They're lumping these two other groups who are flying under a similar banner. Do I get fired now? Is that the next thing to happen? All right. Them is the first group. Believe the Bible is true. That's the them Jesus is talking about. A Christian, a true believer, is not one in name only. A true follower of Jesus Christ receives the words that you gave me. That's what Jesus said. I gave them the words and they have received them. Does that get home yet? Do you see that you do not have the latitude to reinterpret the Scripture according to your likes and dislikes? We don't have that, folks. We receive them or we reject them. On every situation. Culture does not define truth. What God says defines truth. Because truth is what God says and what He sees. And based on that reception, Jesus said, they have come to know in truth that I came from you and believe that you sent me. So if your family gatherings or company picnics or wherever you are, and somebody says, well, I believe in God. I believe in God. Well, folks, so do the demons. And they tremble. The person saying that's not even trembling. Don't get all happy when somebody says, I believe in God. They're not in very good company. The reaction to that is this. Oh, okay. What do you believe about Jesus Christ who came to die for your sins? You're getting personal now. Yes, we are. Here it is again. Said another way. You get the idea that Jesus means this? If any man or woman will come after me, he must deny self, she must deny self. They must reject the words and receive his words, is what that means, deny self. You've got to reject your words and receive his words if you're denying self. If you're not denying self, you're going to say, my words are just as good as his words, I'll do what I want to do. Deny self, take up his cross daily, Jesus said. That means die to the agenda that you have created, whatever it is. And take up his agenda, which is the cross. And he said, then follow me, do what I did, do what I taught, do truth. That is the definition of a disciple. That's a definition of them that he's talking about in this verse. Finally, this morning we close with the last part of this verse. And they have come to know in truth, and they have believed. Verse 8, for I have given them the words that you gave me, they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. That's who he's praying for here. And that's what has happened to those to whom he gave the words that God gave him. You see, this is not just purchasing a tag or a ticket and wearing it around. A tag that identifies you as one of the group. I checked with one of our teachers, and they used to do this, and I just want to make sure. And today, if you work in a public school, okay, in most cases you have a lanyard, that's a deal around your neck, and on that is a, what is it? A what? Name tag, ID, okay? And what that says is, I belong here. Right? And that's the purpose of it? You know, because everybody walking in, you know, and this, that, and the other. And when I taught years ago at Springfield Pipkin Middle School, we'd have winos and drunks and everybody else walking in off the street up there. You'd be in the hallway going to the office, and there'd be, you know, a scary place, okay? We can't do that anymore. You got to have a tag. And the tag says, I belong here. The problem is, when those teachers leave that building, they take off the tag. You can't do that if you're one of them. You don't put the tag on in certain situations and take it off in other situations. The tag is his name. His name is written on you. And in the Lamb's Book of Life, from the foundation of the world. And you don't have to wear a tag, folks, because he's claiming you, and that's all that matters. It is not just claiming something and not being that, or taking it off in certain situations and putting it on when you need to. Like come to church or something. Receiving the words results in knowing in truth that Jesus Christ came from God and believe that God sent him. That's what it is to receive the words. And packed in that statement, the ones Jesus is praying for, whom you have given me out of the world and who will believe in me through their word. That's verses 6 and 9 and 20. Of Jesus' prayer as we put it in the chapters and verses. Those who are his are given to him by the Father. They've heard the words. They've received the words. They believe the words. The words define them in their lives. Folks, we should be able to take a group of followers of Jesus Christ and they all look the same. Not physically, okay? Not physically. But in their life, in their walk, it should all look the same. Because they all look like him. because they have received the words. Do we see that? That's why we get along. That's that koinonia, the fellowship that comes in the body of Christ. That's what that's all about. You all like the same person. We all like the same person. Because it's Him who gave us the words. Folks, believing the Word of God as the means to knowing God is not optional. Believing the Word does not mean it's a suggestion. Believing the Word is not a scholastic understanding of some truth or principle. Believing the Word is not to customize the Word according to personalized desires. The Word is absolute. It means what it says, and it says what it means because it came from Him to His Son Jesus Christ, who gave the words to those You have given Me out of the world. The Word brings about justification. Big word. We've dealt with it a lot here. But that's how you knew and I knew that we had a problem. The Word. And when we believed the Word, we were justified. He wiped out all of your sins. As far as He's concerned, you have never sinned if you are one of them that He's talking about. All right? And if you've believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're one of them. Justified means just as if you haven't sinned. And we said, well, don't try to understand it. Just receive it and relish in the fact that it's true because He said so. And then there's a process of sanctification that begins. Once you come to faith in Jesus Christ, whatever sin may be in your life, or habits from the flesh or whatever, okay, those start to disappear. Because the Holy Spirit convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. And once you're one of them, the Holy Spirit is now in you, and every now and then you'll hear a knock on your door inside. The little kids understand that, so if you're an adult and sophisticated, just be a little kid for a while, okay? And the Holy Spirit says, well, what about that? Huh? I've been doing that for years. What about that? Huh? Can you ask Jesus to do that with you? This Holy Spirit's talking, okay? Huh? And most of the time, we understand, no, that's called conviction. Conviction because you're in trouble? No. Conviction because you're loved. And He wants to conform you to the image of Jesus, the Savior, the one who died for you on the cross. And so then, as you live out your life from the time that you were saved, as you continue to live, sin and sin becomes less and less and less because you are being conformed to the image of His Son, more and more like Jesus, less and less like the old nature of sin that you were born with. That's neat. I've watched that in my life. I've watched it in your lives. And it's real. It's real. And then finally, not that you have to get good enough. The day that you believed, you were good enough for heaven. Do you know that? You say, I've got to work on this. I got some stuff to do because, you know, if I die, heaven's in. No. The day that you believed, you were good enough for heaven. Because your good was taken out and His good was put in. You see? And that makes us good enough for heaven. Anybody want to go? Huh? All right, couple there, okay. Cancel that second bus, okay? Absolutely, okay? I mean, there's a group out there that will say, well, there are no options. You die, that's it. I'm not going to take a gamble on that one, okay? That leaves only two, heaven and hell, all right? That's a no-brainer, isn't it? And plus, you don't have to work to earn it. All you have to do is get rid of your good and let him apply his good, and you're good enough then for heaven. He said so, not me. Well, does that mean I won't get to, and you fill in the blank there. Here, if you're justified, you don't want to anymore. Your want to got changed too. These guys are going to be changing oil out here in a few weeks, okay? Right, Brian? That okay? All right? They're going to take the old oil out. What color is it? Black. And they're going to put golden oil back in. And that car feels so much better if cars can feel. They run a whole lot better, okay? Got happy cars. Well, that's what happened to you and me when we became one of them. We became a priority of the God of this universe, his son, when he prayed to his father. He's talking about us. And he took all the bad out and poured in the perfect, the best. New creatures in Christ Jesus. If you haven't, read again John 17 this week. And read it with the understanding that he is praying for you. Okay? That just changed your whole perspective. All he is asking there, he's asking for you because you're one of them. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. Lord, because we're one of them. One of those that Jesus was praying here for here in this passage that has been preserved for us by your Holy Spirit. That is, Father, those of us who have believed, have received, believed. So, Father, I pray that we would pay special attention to your word. Beginning this week. That we would see your word as your word to us and for us. All of the promises. All of the grace. All the direction. Father, I pray that everyone in this room could receive your word as you have said it. If there's anyone who can't because they are yet to believe, Lord, open their heart's eyes this morning and let them see the love that you have for them. You're not mad. Father, you are just the opposite. You're full of mercy and grace, calling to anyone who has not believed. I know Satan is banging on minds right now and say, you'll be weird. Nobody will like you. All that stuff. Can't have fun anymore. Father, I'm an old man. A lot of experience. I've seen the other side of the fun and all that stuff. And Father, it's just cotton candy. But I have found that peace that passes understanding, that fellowship with you that's indescribable, that fellowship with others who have believed that cannot be denied. And Father, you've given me your word to direct my path, to answer every question that I have. So, Father, if I have any credibility, I pray those who are here would at least come and ask this morning. At least check it out further, because it's true. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Jesus, for praying for me today and being there at the right hand of the Father to intercede.